Dr. Randy here. I got a question for you. How do you get along with your siblings, your adult siblings? Come on now. How's it going? Dr. Randy, Jennifer, Stephen, we're live here in the Intentional Living Studio, and I was preparing for the show today and thinking about, well, what are the stats on this? And Stephen sent over some stats that show 46% of Americans say they had sibling rivalry growing up. Probably a greater number than that. They're just trying, some are saying, well, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't admit that, right? But what's interesting, the stats show that well over 50% of those folks still have the rivalry going on right into adulthood. We're talking about millions and millions and millions of Americans, if they're being honest, saying, you know, I'm still having some struggle with my siblings. 8% of Americans say, I don't know. And that's always 8% of Americans always say, I don't know something, right? And that's just sort of the way it is. But seriously, we're talking about a huge number of you all in the listening audience here today, all around the country, around the world. If you're being honest, saying, yeah, we've got some issues. There's some rivalry. There's some undercurrent. There's some issues, some unresolved feelings with my adult siblings. And maybe you ever thought about Jesus in terms of his relationship with his siblings? Did you know he had siblings? He had brothers and sisters. We only get a snapshot. I would have enjoyed seeing a whole chapter in the Bible of what was it like at the dinner table, you know, when Jesus was growing up with his siblings. But we do get a snapshot of a couple snapshots. One is in John chapter 7. I'll read in just a moment where, listen, his brothers and sisters were a little snarky toward him. And what's interesting to me is how Jesus responded to these siblings who were giving him a hard time. We'll get to that in a moment. We're going to open the phone lines. I'll tell you what we want to do here today. Intentional Living, if you're new to this whole thing, we got one goal in our 30 minutes on the air every day, and that is to help us identify God's intention for whatever it is we're facing. And today, what is God's intention for our adult sibling relationships? We want to hear your story and one thing you've learned. Your story and one thing you've learned. All right, let's go. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. Let me take you to John 7. Jesus is right in the heart and in the center of his ministry. And it says in John chapter 7, after this, Jesus traveled around Galilee, which was his home territory. It's kind of like being in your county. Maybe you're growing up. I grew up in, I'm in Pima County in Arizona. I grew up in Jackson County in Michigan. And so it'd be kind of like saying, okay, Jesus is traveling around Pima County. And in his case, it was traveling around Galilee, around the lake, Galilee in that area. And he wanted to stay out of Judah, where he knew the Jewish leaders were plotting to kill him. Now, there's a good idea, right? He's saying, hey, that's not a spot I want to go quite yet. Verse 2, it says, but soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters. And Jesus' brothers, we're talking not his ministry brothers here, we're talking about his brothers, his earthly brothers, his flesh and blood, said to him, leave here, Jesus, and go to Judah, where your followers can see your miracles. Now, we don't know the tone, but I'll tell you the next sentence kind of makes it clear. That was a snarky kind of in-your-face to Jesus. Leave here and go to Judah where your followers can see your miracles, Jesus. You can't become famous if you hide like this. Now, come on. What would you be thinking if this were your siblings talking to you? You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world. Verse 5, for even his brothers didn't believe in him. For even his brothers didn't believe in him. Now, can we just get real for a minute? I mean, Jesus was all man, all God. The Bible is very clear. It's all man, all God. All human, all God. How all that works, that's a miracle in and of itself, right? And he was placed as the firstborn in the family, and he had younger siblings. Now, let's just get real for a minute. Imagine the dinner table discussion at some point where Joseph and Mary and the siblings and Jesus, and someone had to tell the siblings, Jesus, your oldest brother, is God. Now, some of you grew up thinking your oldest brother and sister acted like that, but come on, can you just get into that, get into their skin for a moment and understand that dynamic that might be going on in that family? What I find fascinating is Jesus' reply. What would you have said? I think, you know, my human reaction would be, oh, you just wait and see. You just wait and see. I would have gotten in their face. Come on. We would have come right back at them. Jesus didn't do that. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus replied, now is not the right time for me to go, but you can go anytime. The world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil. You go on. I'm not going to the festival because my time has not yet come. After saying these things, Jesus remained in Galilee. Now, I don't know what tonal expression he used in expressing that, but he just clearly expressed to them, that's not time for me. He just responded. How do you all respond? How do we respond to our siblings when they're a little snarky to us? Jesus knew why I was here. He knew who he was. He understood his identity clearly, and he just lived it out. How about you? How are you getting along with your siblings? Tell us your story. One thing you've learned, let's go. 888-888-1717 is the number. Noah is in Illinois. Hi, Noah. How are you today?
Good. I'm doing wonderful.
Appreciate your call. What's your story, sibling relationship?
So, me and my brother grew up together. We wrestled together. We played football together. We did everything together. And later in life, about 10 years back or so, our mom died. And when our mom died, we got in a real bad dispute over who had the rights to a particular vehicle that she had. Now, this particular vehicle was at a dealership that I worked at, and a gentleman from a local church helped my mom to purchase the vehicle. So I felt that it should be sold and the money, you know, mm-hmm. gone to the proper parties as far as that goes. Now, my brother wanted to keep it as, you know, just needing to sell. And it wasn't worth a whole lot. I mean, we're talking about a $1,200 car here.
It never is.
He did not feel that I handled the situation properly, and unfortunately, you know, and maybe I didn't.
Are you broken now in your relationship?
No. See, and that's a wonderful thing. See, and this is my story, right? So check it out. So years go by. This last winter, on February 2nd of this very year, I rolled my Ford Focus 6 times. I broke my neck. But my C2 spine and right under your brainstem. I'm lucky to be alive, and the Lord just like somehow like just zapped both of us. And like, I'll tell you what, my brother who I hadn't spoke to in years was in that hospital room the very next day.
Listen, I wrote a book called The Cain and Abel Syndrome: How to Get Along with Your Adult Siblings. And what you just described, Noah, is one chapter or one section of a chapter that I called a sibling moment. You can be separated from your siblings for years because of a stupid car or a knickknack. Come on, let's get real now. And then there's a sibling moment, a death, a tragedy, an illness, cancer, whatever, and something happens. And Noah reminds us, wasted years. And I, you know who I put the responsibility for some of this? Right back on the parents and the grandparents. If you don't do your estate, if you don't get it right, if you don't lay it out, if you don't talk to the kids, if you're not clear, that's where the problems come. My mom, God bless her, she's been in heaven many years. She wrote a letter to the three boys, me and my two older brothers. I'm the youngest. And so I know it's like to be the baby in the family, and totally ignored, by the way, Jennifer, totally ignored. Just if you're going to go in the back seat of the car, where do you think where the baby sits? Right in the middle, right? Hello, never got a window seat. That's probably why I still ask for aisle seats when I go on a plane. But anyway, what we get into trouble is we don't communicate. And my mom sent us a letter before she passed away just saying, listen, boys, she got right in our face, don't fight over the little stuff. Because my mom had a lot of little stuff. I'm telling you, knickknacks and stuff, and we didn't. We really didn't. Didn't matter. But I'll tell you what, there's even in the best of situations, you walk into a situation like that after the death and your emotions kind of float to the surface. And you know what? We become that little boy, little girl, that little sibling all over again. And the dynamic of the relationships, firstborns, you all bossy firstborns out there. Come on. The middle ones who always are trying to negotiate the deal. By the way, the research shows you middle ones have the biggest problem with this as adults. And then the babies who, you know, kind of show up and wonder what's going on, right? But listen, Noah just told us it's just little stuff. Let's take a break. We got a lot of calls. Join us. What's your story? One thing you've learned. Noah just gave us the reminder. Hey, listen, does it matter? That's the question. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I hope you'll do that. I just want to say on behalf of myself, our team here at Intentional Living, our board of directors, thank you for your faithful support during that month of June as we're wrapping up our fiscal year. We're still doing the closing of the books and all that. We'll give you a report, but we're so excited and encouraged about this new year because we've got lives to reach and people to share the good news of what it means to be intentional. If we can see one person come to Christ, one family restored, one young person making a decision to stay on the path of following Christ, maybe becoming a missionary or pastor or giving their life to some area of service, that's why we do this. An unintentional life in 2024 is a disaster in the making. Living an unintentional life, which can be like good intentions, you intend to do something, but you don't. You intend to get into church, but you don't. You intend to read the Bible, but you don't. You intend to live what God has given you from His Word in your life, but you don't. It's kind of like a slow walk off a steep cliff. And we love you way too much to stand here and not tell you the truth. It is not about works. It is not about perfection. It's just about every day saying, Lord Jesus, today, one thing, what one thing can I do that'll bring you pleasure? Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe someone needs to pick up a phone today. Maybe this is the moment you're going to say, hey, I can be intentional calling that sister or brother today and just saying, I love you. I'm praying for you. Or send him a text or send him a card. I don't know. You know. Maybe that's the one thing. If we can help one person reconnect, that's why we do this. All right, let's go. Debbie, you're in Michigan. Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
My story is me and my four siblings, we're like best friends. We do everything together. We get together all the time and everything, but it's my husband's family I don't understand. He's only got one brother.
Yeah.
And his sister-in-law is my best friend. If it wasn't for the two of us, they would never see each other.
So his sister, you get along with great, but he's not so interested.
Yeah, it's his sister-in-law.
Oh, his sister-in-law. Okay.
His sister-in-law, his brother's wife.
Okay.
Him and his brother would not see each other if it wasn't for the fact that his sister-in-law and I are best friends.
Why do you think?
And they were, growing up, they were always, anytime they would fight, they would be separated. They wouldn't be made to work things out between them.
Yep.
And so, and politically, they're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Oh, that's a big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal. Yep. And we always have a thing whenever we get together for holidays. Politics is not discussed.
Yeah, that's a thing, that's for sure.
But it's so, it's sad to me.
How did you get along with your sisters when you were all young?
When we were young, we had the normal arguments, but one of my sisters is only a year older than me, so we were like twins. We did everything together, you know. And we would pick on the little sister who was 3 years younger.
Yeah, but, of course. I understand.
Yep, but as we became teenagers and adults, we just always really got along and still do.
What did your parents do right?
They always made us work things out. If we had a disagreement, we sat down and we discussed what we were disagreeing, and they made us resolve our disagreements.
So they didn't come and fix them and then send you to your corners?
No.
Yeah.
No. They let us argue it out, and if it got too heated, then they would step in and mediate a little bit and that kind of thing. But
Now with your husband and his brother, do they just have different interests? You said there sounds like there's political things and all that. Do they just have different interests, different values, different direction in life?
I think so. They're just such opposite people in some ways, and yet in other ways, you can't tell them this, but they are a lot alike.
Well, you can't tell them that. You can tell me that, but you can't tell them that. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
So it's like even when we get together for holidays, my husband will go because he wants to see the nieces and nephews and great nieces and nephews and that kind of thing, but they kind of sit in opposite corners.
Sad, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You know, every once in a while they'll talk to each other and discuss something, but you don't see it very often.
Mm. Life's short. Okay, folks, listen, thank you for that call, Debbie, and a reminder that, you know, we can have political differences, especially in this season. Wow, this whole country is just divided. It's a huge problem for our nation. And it happens in families. It can be over finance. You can look at a sibling and say, look how successful they are or think they are or whatever it is. You know, you look at their kids and you compare their kids to your kids. Come on. We're getting real here when it comes to what happens with sibling relationships. I know I did the research and wrote the whole book. And I understand that this, I call it the Cain and Abel syndrome. Look how that turned out. Wasn't so good for Abel, right? And it was just the two of them. They didn't have any, you know, they didn't have all the dynamics we have going on today in the culture. And so this is to be expected. And we see the research, nearly 50% of Americans are honest enough to say sibling rivalry has been an issue and the impact it has. Mary's been estranged for 25 years from her siblings. We're going to hear about that in just a moment. This thing of living intentionally is not about doing the last three chapters only of Ephesians. It's not just about loving your wife more and being a good person and submitting to one another. That gets to be hard work if we don't get the first three chapters of Ephesians straight. I can't do Ephesians 4 through 6 if I don't understand and embrace Ephesians 1 through 3. Yeah, that's an excerpt from the teaching, the featured teaching this month on you got to be before you do. If you've not taken a little personal Bible study, can I encourage you? You think, I don't know where to start. If you want to start an interesting little powerful study, get into the book of Ephesians where the Apostle Paul spends it's only six chapters long. So you can read through it in, you know, one setting. But the first three chapters are all about our position in Christ, about being. It's an inside thing. What's going on in our lives, in our relationship with our Creator? It's a powerful first three chapters. And then it ends with that great prayer, benediction there in chapter 3, and then begins chapter 4 with this, where Paul says, therefore, which my pastor always used to say, you got to ask yourself why it's therefore, right? And therefore, and then he goes on in the powerful 4, 5, and 6, talking about living, about marriage and business and relationships and parenting, putting on the armor of God. And so the first three chapters are inside work, and the next three chapters are all the outside work. That's why intentional living exists. We exist because we believe that if we get the inside work done correctly in our relationship with Christ and other people, the outside work's a lot easier. But listen, don't ignore the outside. It's easy to say, oh, I love Jesus and my hope is in him, but you still got all these issues going on where God's intention is clear on how we can live. And we're here to help encourage you. Life is too short to be in bondage. Just finished a book today. It's going to be out this fall on the topic of decluttering your life, finding freedom through intentional living. And we're excited that'll be coming out in September. And because, boy, we got a lot of clutter that can keep us from experiencing God's best in our life. All right, Mary, are you still there in California? Hello, Mary, are you there? It sounds a little silent. We'll get back to Mary in a moment in California. In the meantime, where am I going here? Line 4, I'm going to Lee. Is it Leah in Arizona? How are you? All right, sounds like the phones are not working correctly. So I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let me go to Abigail in Georgia. Abigail, what's your sibling story?
So I'm in my 30s. I've had a rough relationship with my mother since I was a teenager. It progressively got worse. Basically, the last 5 years, I've had a falling out with the person, you know, I trusted with my entire life, and that was my sister. Mm. You know, she was my best friend, and the last person I thought would do, like, wanted nothing to do with me. And I honestly don't know where it came from, but my daughter is 3 years old, and 3 years ago, I ended up finding out that I was going to have my daughter on the date of her wedding. Mm. And I don't want to put my sister's business out there, but she had had a miscarriage and she was going to be the first one in our family to have a child, you know, the first grandchild.
Now, this is the sister that you have an estrangement with now.
Yes. We don't have a relationship at all. And a part of it, I feel like, is how we were raised. You know, my mom never had a relationship with her mother either, mm-hmm. and had terrible relationships with her siblings, even to this day. So I see that the change have continued.
Yeah, but what I hear, Abigail, is growing up in a home where you didn't have a good relationship with your mom, I'm assuming that was true of your sister as well, mm-hmm. you didn't learn how to discuss things or resolve problems or have, quote, normal differences and talk about them.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. I grew up with my parents arguing a lot.
Right, so now you're going to have a baby on your sister's wedding, and there's a miscarriage, and there's all this stuff going on. I'm just wondering if there's been just a lot of buildup of big things, but important moments in time that maybe you just never had a chance to talk through how she was feeling. Maybe she had expectations of how you should respond or what she expected from you, and they weren't met, and she's disappointed, and one thing leads to another, and all of a sudden it's kind of like mom all over again. There's a distance in your relationship.
Yeah.
Does that sound reasonable?
I would say so. I also didn't know how to tell her when I found out I was pregnant. It came out of surprise, not that I didn't want a child, but because I knew what she had gone through, yeah. She was actually the one who came to me and it was like, you're pregnant. And I was like, yes.
And that she had some reaction to that, didn't she?
Yeah, kicked me out of the wedding. I was the maid of honor. I had already done everything for her wedding. She said that she loves me, but she wants nothing to do with me. Mm. And now, mind you, we have a brother. He's the middle child. She doesn't have a relationship with him either.
You do?
My brother and I, yes, we try to see each other once a month. You know, we both have kids, have our own family, but we do make that effort of, I'll go to his house, and we just, like, we have fellowship, we just talk, mm-hmm. we reminisce about the old days.
That's good. Well, what do you think? Let me ask you this. What one thing do you think you could do? One thing you could do that might have a breakthrough with your sister? Does anything come to mind?
I don't know if there is, because I have reached out to her. I said, you know, I forgive you, and there's nothing. And that took a lot for me.
Yeah, but when you said, I forgive you, did she ask for forgiveness?
No, I forgave her for myself because I had so much anger.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Abigail, you know, the Bible says to us that in many words there can be sin and division. And sometimes the best thing to do is just simply pray for her, back off, leave the door open, don't push. This is her stuff. Let her own what she's going through, and do your very best. Because what's happening, as I just said, I think bubbling up probably is a lot of history, maybe unresolved issues and feelings. Because you know what? Sometimes we try to fix a relationship when we got to let a person own their own weakness and their own issues. Without taking that kind of responsibility. What's your story? We'd love to hear it. We're going to continue after the show today. 888-888-1717.
I find it amazing that God always walks in my life at certain times, and this is a perfect example of one of them. I turned on Intentional program here, and I'm listening about siblings, the Cain and Abel. I am the oldest of four. My father died, it'll be 6 years in October, and none of us talk. I have three siblings that don't talk to me, and I know that some of the other siblings don't talk to one or two of the other siblings. I'm wondering if this happens with death. I hear it a lot that when a death occurs with one of the parents, that this is indeed more the norm than not. Which I find to be extremely sad, but I would hope that someday healing is made so that we can reconnect together as a family. Thank you very much.
That's a way to close, because many of you can relate to her as she shares. She's hoping someday, praying someday. You know what? Can I encourage you? You maybe take the lead. Keep your expectations low. Leave the door open. Because if you go in there expecting that your kindness and your love and your openness is going to solve all the problems, that's being naive and foolish, frankly. Just leave the door open and let God do His work. If we've done anything today, I hope it's helped each of us to think about the nature of the relationship that we have or don't have with those, not only our siblings, but in our family that matter. Join us. We're going to continue this recording for a future show, 888-888-1717. Dr. Randy, got to run. We'll see you tomorrow with more Intentional Living.